Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yo, what's up, Square Pimp Gang? On this episode, we have Zonny Zolden, and we also, Andre the Pimp comes in, the Andre the Lover.
Andre's back. Yeah,
he's back. Us. He comes in and sat in with us, which is always dope. We talked about the difference between somebody defining what your responsibility to your work is and how your mate may not understand that. We talked about a new rule on the Patreon. We talked about that, about having, you know, being upfront and not assuming that there are certain things that we should just assume that adults would know.
Yeah.
And making those clarifications.
Andre, on the Patreon, the bonus show, that's where we do all the bonus content over at Patreon. We do listener mail and stuff like that. And you can join us there at patreon.com/manschool202, which is great because it's a bonus show for you guys and bonus content, and it helps keep the light on over here and helps keep doing the show. And we do bonus shows like we talked to Andre. He tells us a crazy dating story that is a must hear, and it's like a real-time lesson, all the lessons you're going to take from a crazy dating relationship and bad relationships and moving forward with them. And that's on the bonus episode over at patreon.com/manschool202.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, what's up, y'all? GYBB Get Your Balls Back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and I am really, really excited because this is a special show. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I really mean it. First and foremost, Harry, how you doing? You ready to rock and roll?
Doing good, man. Always ready to rock and roll. We got and, a full house. The crew's back.
Cool. And the band's coming back together.
There you go.
J.G. Thompson in the building.
What up, yo?
A long herniatus.
How we living?
Good to see you, baby.
Good to see you.
Andre doing big things. Being a celebrity now, he can't get a light though. So
those are very expensive.
And we got our guest in the building. Good friend of mine. Somebody that I really like, but I don't see enough, and I don't hang out with enough. Give it up for Donnie Walden, owner of the Stand Up New York.
Yeah,
my favorite club in the fucking city. Give it up for Donnie, y'all. Give it up for Donnie,
man.
Friend of the show. He's already informed us a lot of what he's gonna say is gonna be a pleading the Fifth Amendment.
Or so, yeah. No comment. You're gonna have to.
No contest.
Yeah,
you'll probably have like 3 minutes of audio from me.
Okay, and. Donnie's acting like an insurrectionist. He's running into the capital of his marriage.
I love that. You always laugh like that?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
What, my laugh? It's cute, right?
It's cute, right?
It's adorable.
You do it again?
Probably in a minute.
I just want to like tickle you.
Yeah, it's kind of like Tom and Jerry. Like
a fetish.
Jerry.
It's like a weird fetish thing we got going.
Like Jerry.
That was so adorable, Dante.
Thank you. You know what? People always like that laugh while I'm punching them in the face. They're like, oh, it's adorable.
It's just very like sweet and authentic.
Well, thank you, brother. That is how I feel.
That should be the podcast intro.
That's my laugh, right? We're working on it. Big things going. We got Andre back, so it's
fucking giggle.
Donnie, what's going on, bro? It's good to see you. I was asking about you. How's the tennis coming?
Donnie, I'm here. Yeah. I could be doing it more. You know, I joined the tennis club during COVID.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was playing like 2-3 times a week, maybe at the peak.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I gotta work it more into my schedule. I would go once or twice a week, then I would skip like 3 weeks or a month, and then my wife yells at me, you know, cancel your membership. And that's like the cycle. Then I'll go again for a month, and then I won't go for another month and got yelled at.
I kind of caught her yelling at you about it, and I was like, how's the tennis? And you was like, hey, that's the name I go. And then you were like, I went yesterday. And she was like, well, you should cancel your membership. Just shows you how women just love taking the joy out of everything.
No comment.
No comment.
First one. First no comment.
That's the first.
First official.
Dre, can you keep a count on that? Can you take a tally?
I said that.
You keep a tally, Dre. Get a pad.
One. We got one.
Treat it like boxing.
Yeah, ding.
Dante, have you ever played tennis?
A little bit. I'm not really good at it. I never really put in enough time. You know what it is too? I hate the heat. I hate the sun.
And white people.
That's what kept you away from tennis, sun?
Yeah. I mean, because you're
the sun only exclusive to tennis.
You be out in the sun. Am I lying?
Tennis is done outdoors.
Players play in the sun, and they got on all kinds.
Who
of
is?
So I'm gonna throw you a little curveball now.
But
I actually play indoors.
I
can't say shit.
You know
no
what?
More.
This is what happens when.
Yeah, you're like air conditioning.
What's the excuse now.
This is the reason why black people don't play tennis, because we can't afford indoors. See.
Mm.
I think white people only
started playing indoors after black people started joining. They're like, we got to build. We got to have something with
wall around them.
We got to have some type of. Well, they started with the fences, and then they're like, we got to put a roof on this. They know how to. They can climb, apparently. So we got to keep them out.
Hmm. Yeah, but Dre, even with football, like football is not really a summer sport.
No,
you know what I mean?
Football is. Yeah, you could play it all year. Cold in the cold.
And if it's hot, man, I just not play. So but I hate the sun. But it's dope.
Like,
Dre, what's
like,
going
on? You like the beach or not?
No, I don't like the beach.
What the fuck, Dante?
Why not?
Nowhere to. I would rather a pool. I don't like sand. Although I do like to surf. I can surf.
How? How the fuck that makes sense?
Because he likes the water, surfing in the water part,
in
but like
the water,
sitting in the sun part, which I hate the sitting in the sand part.
You like,
I like
sitting
the water.
That's because Andre, fuck Andre and his abs.
I don't like the beach either. Like I go in the summer once or twice a week.
Yeah,
you know, with the family, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't like just like sitting there.
So
you know,
that's a thing.
So
you
do something.
For
I don't gotta just sit there. It's not a requirement to stay still. Go fucking frolic or some shit. I don't know.
When you have
play
kids,
ball.
Andre. When you have
fucking
kids.
Bring food. Go to the damn water.
Yeah, no, okay. When you have kids, you know, you got to watch them.
You got to watch them so they don't die.
You got to watch the kids so the kids don't drown, Andre. Touche, Andre.
And like yesterday was like 100 degrees and I'm sitting like on the beach.
Oh, you was at the beach yesterday?
Yeah.
What?
You was at the beach yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's not fun. For me,
so yeah. Part of having children is that you have to take them. You the number one job is making sure they don't die, which kind of becomes what every trip or outing is about. Whether it's the beach,
and
the
beach is dangerous as fuck for kids. Beach is dangerous.
And kids,
but,
let's also remember, kids are stupid. Let's not forget, they don't. They're.
I don't
dumb.
Know if you. I don't know if you call them stupid, Harry.
I am right now. I'm calling them stupid. All right,
dumb.
This is the hill Harry gonna die on.
Dumb.
Fuck them dumbass kids.
I'm with Harry. They
Thank
do a lot
you.
Of stupid things.
Yeah. They just, when left to their own choices, their own decision making. They're
and
smart
y'all
for
just
kids.
Out here batting 1,000 every day?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm not dying. I can't tell you how many times you have to.
I don't
save
know if that's
life.
Just because of your responsibility, Harry. I think other things have helped you not die.
Mm. Hmm. My smart decisions. I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, I was at the club. I was at Stand Up New York, and I was asking Donnie about his tennis, and his wife jumped right in. She was like, "You don't even. Why does she not want you to have a membership, Donnie? Why is that?"
Those were her exact words, actually.
it sounded like her.
That's actually ancient Hebrew that Dante is doing. Is like or Yiddish. It's like a form of Yiddish.
She wants to. I guess she likes to get the full value out of things. So if I'm paying for a gym membership or a tennis
You got to go every day, twice on Tuesdays.
I got to use that. She doesn't like wasting money. Like we join like the beach club, you know, and she wants to use it. Like,
you know, yeah, that sounds like, pretty good.
That's really what it's coming from, which makes sense.
Like, does she work?
Like wasting.
Does she work now or no?
She's work. She's a orthodontist.
Oh shit! So you could actually waste her money. That's awesome.
Probably her money.
That's fucking.
It's not a comedy club money.
It could be. Trey, what's going on? It's good to have you back. Fans been asking about you.
Good, bro. Living.
Wanted to talk to you and see what's going on. And everybody's asking about you. We thought you. Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to the peoples, man.
Yeah. So welcome back. I did a live radio show yesterday, let me just say this up front. This show's going to be a little bit different because Donnie's a good friend. And he's a friend of the show. And being that Donnie is going to plead the fifth through most of the show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're going to have a free for all. Just kind of what I would like to call an open discussion. So this way, Donnie's wife can't go, "Remember when you said, now you got to quit your membership?"
Oh, so this is to keep him out of troubles.
Yes. Yeah, we got to keep him out of trouble. I love Donnie. I love Donnie to death. Love his kids, too. I mean, not in a weird, creepy way, but I mean, I love his kids.
It was good until you specified.
Yeah, probably so. When I said it, I was like, maybe I shouldn't say this.
Those are adorable kids. I mean, they're not like hot or nothing. They just.
I used to take Johnny's kids and put them in the truck, get them in the truck and make them honk the horn when I had the horn and sit them on the motor.
I've Dante has said 4 different names of mine this in 10 minutes. One is Donnie Waldman, my business partner.
No, I said Donnie Walden.
Harry.
I got to side with Donnie on this one.
Really?
Here's the thing. I didn't hear that, but I do know that you called him Johnny just 5 seconds ago.
I did not call him Johnny.
You did call him Johnny.
Call me Johnny.
No, I didn't.
You did call him Johnny.
That's did fucking, I call you
this
Johnny?
This is funny. Turned into a drinking game.
Yeah, I'm a little fatigued from last night, and the heat has really been. I think I got a little heat stroke. Like I don't know how y'all feel, but this beats the
fuck out of me. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
But it's good.
I've been running around with his fucking cum gutters. Yeah. Fuck you.
It's all right. Not that bad. Get a little water. You know what I'm saying? A little magnesium.
A whole lot of baby oil.
You know what?
Oil.
I didn't think of water. I didn't think of the water. Like, you just drink some water.
Don't get mad at me, Harry. Never out here sucking down Coca-Cola.
I don't drink a lick of Coca-Cola.
But I did a thing last night, right? And, it was like a radio thing for Sirius Radio, and they did a Karen Hunter's show. I did a Foolishness Friday. We did the first live thing for Foolishness Friday, and they sold it out. And then they had they call it Foolishness Friday, which is so I do Sirius Radio with her every. If y'all want to check it out, it's 126 on Sirius Radio. I'm on there every Friday.
I think they do it on the radio on Friday, but this was a live event version.
Yeah,
we did it live.
Kind of meet the fans and stuff. And I was asked they do a segment called Ask Dante. And this lady was saying how she's been married 30 years. It's a great marriage. I was like, and then and then she said, you know, we have great sex and stuff. My problem is that she goes, I can't suck his dick and make him come, which I thought was
problematic.
I just, in my mind, I was like, she's a God, what a beautiful woman.
What a wonderful lady.
what a wonderful older lady just trying to suck her husband of 30 years dick to make him splash off in her mouth because she's a good wife. Huh?
What a wonderful woman.
You know, when people ask what's a good wife, that's what they think of. Right, Donnie?
No comment.
Ring the bell.
We got two.
What do you think about Dante just calling me Jimmy?
Jimmy. It'll be easier this way. No, you called him
Jimmy.
Now I did not. I said Donnie.
You did call him Donnie. That's fine. This one, he's just
Dante's gonna think Dante's gonna like check himself. Now you're checking himself in.
Yeah, now you're just gaslighting him. Now it's being unfair. Yeah, now you're just scaring him psychologically where Dante thinks
this AC is not coming out quick enough.
Dante thinks he's having heat stroke now.
I do think I'm like did I? Anyway.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So she asked me now, and I this is like a live question, and I go, well, I was like, first of all, we should probably survey all the dick sucking hoes in the room first. Probably they probably know more about this than I do, but nobody volunteered. And so I related it to what I know about men going down on women, which I am an expert in, plenty of practice. And one of the things that if you ever know a guy who thinks he's great at going down on a girl, right, he will always say, oh, my skills, I got skills, da 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 da. But the reality,
like, he's a rapper.
Yeah, like he was like, yo, you can't fuck with me, son.
You ain't even seen me work.
You ain't seen my work, son. And so, but the thing about that is one of the things that
last
I say.
Last name eater, first name pussy.
When I say pussy, you say. So he goes, and I've had guys attack me on the radio. Yo, you don't know my skills, blah blah.
Y'all having beef over eating pussy? This is a thing.
He just called up and had a. He just, yo, he went at me, son. He came at me.
Something wrong.
I felt like it was the quick and the dead. You know what I mean? Like, like we were gonna have a fight at high noon. We were gonna shoot out.
Idea: two niggas arguing over who eat pussy.
And I wasn't even going there. I just was talking about the technique. And he calls me up. He said, Five, catch your girl. You what? And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm imagining, like, you know, them old Kung Fu movies with two opposing like, Kung Fu.
So you think you're a pussy eater.
Your style is no match for mine.
So what I was trying to explain was that nobody is a great pussy eater. You have people that are experienced, but from woman to woman, it's very different. The process is very different because every woman is like a beautiful snowflake. Every woman is very different in different ways. And I went on to explain that, you know, some women like direct contact. See, I can't. This is why I can't say Jimmy.
Direct contact. I can't even say real words. YouTube videos every day for these bitches, bro. Otherwise, they're gonna leave you.
Yeah, you gotta. Some prefer direct contact. Some small circles. Some under the hood. Some over the hood. Some. And those things happen, and then as the process goes along, right, Donnie, as the process moves on, the intensity can change because her body is at different heights of ecstasy or different forms levels of euphoria. And so I was trying to explain that, and I would say that so you can have a knowledge of a lot of things. But in order to master your particular girlfriend or your particular wife, it's trial and error. You have to try different things. And then you have to kind of take a mental note on what she likes. Like, I have a system where, like, I'll do one thing and then I'll rate it from 1 to 10. And then I'll do something else and I'll rate it from 1 to 10. And then I'll have some things that are like 9s and some things that are 7s and some things that are 6s. And then I remove the 6s and the 7s. And I try to, and as I'm trying more, I'm getting more 8s and 9s, and then I just eliminate the 6s and 7s, and I just go with the 8s and 9s.
But sounds like getting to a good comedy set.
Yes, it is exactly. And it, you know, it's funny you say that because there's all, you know, I always say that there's, you know, I haven't said this in a while, but the true wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how they relate to situations that seem irrelevant but really are not. That once you understand the truth, the cosmic and universal truth of anything, you can usually apply that same truth to other things.
If somebody just came into this conversation, they would never guess that we were talking about eating. If they just came in and heard cosmic universal truth, they didn't get shit prior.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what y'all talking about, God?
Andre, and then they, you know how YouTube, you go, wait, I missed it.
James Webb telescope pictures.
Let me skip back 10 seconds to see what they were talking about.
Oh, shit.
And I'm going, so when you munch box, no. So it's funny because you say that's a great way to put a comedy set. You pick the stuff that kills, and then you get rid of the stuff. If the stuff is not necessary, you take the punchlines that are less and you remove them.
Do you have a conversation with the girl after to collect her feedback?
Like a post game?
Send her a survey by email.
Like, what did you like this? What did you think of the? La, 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 la. Like, what do you like, think about that?
Like 1 to 5 stars.
So here's the thing. I've been let's just say I've been eating pussy for a long time, and I don't really go for the survey because there is
you should be paying attention the whole time anyway.
Yeah, say that again, Harry.
You got to be paying attention to the body language the whole time while you're in the process anyway. So if you're paying attention to what's going on, you can tell when they're into something and when they're not. The body
right,
language
ring
will
that
tell
bell
you.
Again. So what's interesting, let me see how I can explain this, why I wouldn't give a survey.
I didn't mean like survey.
I know what you mean. I mean, just having a conversation about
Yeah, you don't do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. You own a comedy club, so you get this. You ever see somebody do a joke, right?
You don't send them to like your Google page and ask them to leave a review.
No, but you also don't. You also, the best joke is the joke that where they say the punchline and you get the punchline. Do you know what I mean? Like from when the joke is so well crafted, you know, you make the joke so that it makes sense to them. Without explaining it, it's the audience is so much more elated about that because they feel as though that they have shared in the construction of the joke. Does that make sense? So, if we look at like Patrice O'Neal when he did Elephant in the Room, and he goes, oh, what was the what was the Spanish girl from South America that got? And everybody goes, no. He goes, exactly. And so everybody understands what he means, and he hasn't really said what he means. And so women will almost see it as, so let me back up. Two things that men are supposed to be good at.
You lost two people, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. They're just leaving.
Aries, like,
Aries, I'm out here.
Bounced like 5 minutes ago.
Look, I can do this on my own anyway. It's
Harry,
fine.
Harry, like, went to the corner store.
Harry went to get some hair gel from somewhere. Now I forgot what I was saying. Oh yeah, so it's right, yeah, but it was something. So if a woman is with a guy who innately knows what she wants without her having to speak it, it is much more impactful than if he asks and says, well, what do you like? And then you just do what she likes. It's like if you give her a gift that's super sentimental that you've thought out because based on, and you've come up with the answer of what the perfect gift is without asking her, what do you want? Right now, I'm absolutely for communicating, and when you don't understand something that to ask. But if you can do it without asking, then it's almost like a magic trick when you know what to do, because they're always like, oh my God, how did you know? Like, how do you know? Right.
When you're down there doing your thing for a while, and like a lot of time passes and you can tell when she's not enjoying it. Are you thinking in your head, like, like what's going on here?
Well, I think, okay, so at the time when you recognize that she's not enjoying it, there's a lot that has happened before you get to that point. So you want it to constantly intensify, right? And if it's not intensifying, then you need to check that before it starts slipping away. You know, it's like when you look at your tire, you go, I think I got a slow leak, right? You don't want to get a flat tire and then go, oh, I got to change it. You know what I'm saying? You want to do something about it while you hear the air pissing out. Let me go fix this before it becomes a problem. So if you're at the point when you're down there and you can say she's not in there, then you haven't been paying attention enough in the first place. Soon as there's a shift in energy or a shift in excitement, then you should be looking to change your technique and to make adjustments. You don't want to wait till you lost. So you don't want to be down there and then she yawns and then you're like, oh fuck.
That's some hard crushing shit if that happened, man. You gotta get dressed.
Just a side note, like sometimes, so my wife, you know, Billy, she's an orthodontist. She sees like 40, 50 patients a day. Yeah. And she's on feet all day. And it's different, much different type of work than what I do.
Yeah.
So like if, you know, when we're home at night and she asks me to do something and I'm like, oh, I'm tired. She's like, you don't work, you know? But like, I think I can point to like this conversation, like this is work, you know, like I did work, you know, 4 to 5, like
right.
I was talking about this.
You did, you know, work.
Talking about. I'm like, it's not like fixing braces, but you know, this is work, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're making a joke, but you're not wrong. I mean, to run a business and to be in a situation where the business needs to be successful and you need to anticipate the things that need to be done in order to make even though you may not be physically holding, you know, working on somebody's teeth, right? The stress that you're under for the fact that this next thing may not work or the next what's going on or whatever, it's still stress. You're still under a level of stress. Where you at, Andre?
I'm right here.
Andre is really good with like the physicality of shit. And I was going to say, Andre, what level of stress? I don't know if you can answer this, but you probably have an idea. what level of stress, like regular mental stress, how does that affect your physicality?
I mean, stress can interrupt your endocrine system, hormones, fuck with every hormone, adrenal, testosterone, leptin, ghrelin. You eat different. Your sleep is fucked up. Cortisol is crazy. So you wake up weird and all kind of shit. So like stress is like, what you could consider that the number one killer, like, you know, because it comes in so many ways. And
look at me. I love you, bro. I miss you. See how that was just a switch off. Bam. He came right in.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So my point being is that she's saying that there's not a physical aspect of, but the level of stress you're under on a minute to minute basis of running a business could do what? Endocrine, blah, blah, blah. What did you say? Say what? Shoot, give me
endocrine
one of those words.
Disruptors and hormones and adrenals.
So it don't, but you, I think what you also have to do is you got to stop sharing what you do. Because then it gives her an opportunity to assess whether or not you're working or not. Do you know what I mean? Also, you didn't want to be an orthodontist. She wanted to be an orthodontist.
So you're saying you're advising me not to be truthful, but don't share something.
Don't volunteer shit that's going to come back and bite you in the ass later. Right. You know? Because she's going to look at it, and I guess rightfully so. I mean, one of the things that I say over and over again is the importance of the importance of ACE is authenticity, credibility, and empathy, right? And number one, telling the truth. So you should tell the truth when you open your mouth. It should be truthful. Credibility, when you say you're going to do something, you do it, right? And empathy is understanding that you do understand that she's on her feet all day working but the fact is that she doesn't have the empathy to understand the level of stress that you're under on a day-to-day basis, you know, and what it feels like to have a business and it be on based on your every move and the decision you make. For it to be successful and how taxing physically that could be on you. And so to say you don't work is just, it's like somebody, you know, looking at somebody who does stand up and be, oh, I could do that. No, the fuck you can't. Like, no, you can't. It's a whole different thing. And there's a whole different muscles and different parts of the brain that you just can't do. And people, you know, we see that all the time, especially in the clubs, people hackle because they're, oh, I'm funny. And then you're like, no, you have no idea what the sacrifices and what it takes to make this, which is the same thing. I mean, if you think about the sacrifices that you've made to have this club, to even to own it. Like I remember when you were buying the club, and all that you went through and buying the club and times when it was hot and time when it was cold. The stress of that is like, so for somebody to say you don't work, it's, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, I love your wife. She's, you know, and I'm one of her favorite comics. So, but, but who the fuck are you to say that this is not work? You know,
you also got to just make sure as an individual that you feel like you're doing everything you can on your end. So, Are you being lazy or are you doing everything you can on your end to whatever needs to get done? So if you have free time, are you sitting around playing video games, watching TV while she's dealing with the kids, or are you actually working and then, you know, vice versa? Like, are you being realistic and reasonable?
Like, are you doing everything to make the business successful? Yeah. Would you, I mean, in your opinion?
It doesn't, maybe I'm very chill. So, like,
yeah, people, no, I mean, I'm not judging it. I'm just asking.
No, I'm saying from when people look at me, I appear very chill. right?
Right.
I don't get angry. I don't yell.
You are currently wearing a backwards baseball hat, which is the chillest move that a person could do.
Like, it's funny. I had a big meeting with like a big Jewish organization this morning, and like I walked in with
your tennis shirt.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't care, which I love that. Like, I'm not getting dressed up for anybody.
It's a very casual, chill vibe.
And that's like my mindset also. Like, I don't need to impress anyone. You know, I am who I am. That's like, you know, I'm not wearing pants for like any meeting. So
that's weird because Harry doesn't have any pants now. No. Right now.
I appear chill, but yeah, I'm thinking about work and working. Like, like morning, day, night, like when I'm in the shower, when I'm on the toilet, when I'm on the floor, like too much where it is unhealthy. Like it's very hard for me to disconnect from work.
Yeah.
And just sit on the beach or even while I'm playing tennis, I'm thinking about work.
Really? Even when you're in an active activity
for some reason it's difficult for me to break from that. I want to learn, you know. I'd love to just, you know, watch a movie or not think about work for like sometimes I forget about work and I'll think about it for 20 minutes and I'm like, oh my god, that was a vacation, you know.
Andre, tell him some more about the endocrine whatever.
I do want to like learn how to just unplug, but also at the same time I do love being productive. And I love you know, I mean, certain things I don't love about the club, but there are certain things I do love. And I love you know, we got into the festival business, so you know, we're doing a big festival in Coney Island next month,
and I love
working on that show and partnering with different organizations and comics and musicians, and it's been like an amazing process. You know, so that's sort of taking me out of the club day to day.
Yeah,
it's still work. Like I've worked, like sometimes I work so much where I'm like are we really on this earth to like work so hard?
Yeah
like it doesn't make sense. Sometimes I'm like, I just want to live on a kibbutz, you know, in Israel.
Yeah.
I'm just like worried about.
I want to live on a kibbutz as well in Israel.
What's the kibbutz?
I don't know, but it sounds wonderful.
A kibbutz is like, Harry, you know what that is, right?
I do, but I you'd probably be better at explaining it. It's like it's like a pilgrimage thing for
it's like
the Jews.
Like, they have it like in Israel, but yeah. You're sort of just like living
outdoors a little bit.
In like a community.
Community,
like,
yeah.
It's like a communal living. So like if you're all having dinner together, like 30 families, and like you're all making something for the dinner. You know, I think the point is just to
it's like living on a farm almost.
Like the burden off of everyone. Everyone like helps each other.
Everybody takes a little bit of
yeah, and it's not like, you know, everyone has like simple jobs. And it's like a very nice, simple way of life, you know.
Could be. It's not bad.
But it's also there. It's all for the community, and the idea is not about profit or making, you know,
sort of like so like moves. Socialism.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just like a much more simple way of life, very like family focused and community focused.
Is that a big thing in like? Is that like what percentage of Jews would be involved in say kibbutzing?
I think it's more like an Israeli thing. I don't know. It's a small percentage.
Small percentage.
I don't know. I would try that for a little
they
bit.
Have pilgrimages and things like, where you can go and, you know, like usually teenagers and stuff can spend the summer living in a kibbutz.
Oh, yeah, so like almost like a retreat, like a
You can do it for a short period of time. It's just like a different way of living. I do feel like us humans these days, most of us put ourselves under an enormous amount of like stress and pressure to, especially entertainers, you know, like we're all killing and we're killing ourselves where, I don't know, is there like a middle ground?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I was talking to Andre. We were talking earlier today, and what we were talking about is that, you know, like, you know, having relationships. And so, like, one of the things about doing comedy is your wife, and your wife is your side bitch. That's your side chick. And it's very difficult for women to understand, who are not in the business, and sometimes even if they are in the business, to understand how important this expression, this artistic expression, and because they don't have that. Like, a lot of people go to work, they go to work and they hate their job, or it is a job where they go there to make money to do things like go hang out on the beach. You know what I mean? And whereas what we do is we love doing it. Like, you know, the excitement of getting up on stage and kind of riding that hurricane it's really insane. You know, it's kind of like, when, you know, when you're talking about surfing, it's like every show you're riding a new wave, and it's always ever changing. And just the minute you feel like you got comedy figured out, then lady comedy kicks you in the dick, you know, kicks you right in the dick and lets you know, oh, you don't get it this at all. And I think that's what keeps us interesting, because there's never not another level. You know, there's always further, and you can stay at one or you can move forward, but there's always this kind of upward mobility about what
you can do. And I'm purpose driven also.
Yeah.
I mean, you like, you want to, it helps you and your being, and you're also helping other people.
Yeah.
Where, like, once you experience that, being a comic, for example, like, you can never go back to, like, a 9 to 5 job.
And yeah. But I've seen guys quit and go, this is just not for me, that they can't, they don't have the ability to kind of sit in the place where they literally know that they can lose every minute. So a lot of times when you see comics that we would consider hacky, are comics who keep it safe, because they don't want to lose. They don't have that. They're not willing to risk losing. And so, you know, I think it's an interesting thing to, you know, and like I said in the beginning, it's relationships are two things men are supposed to be good at, even when you have no practice, which is really unfair. Relationships and sex, we don't nearly get enough practice. We don't get enough opportunities to make mistakes. The mistakes are, you know, the mistakes have consequence, and they're painful emotional consequences. And so, you know, but we're still expected to be good at it. And you got guys who have, you know, you got guys who are 70 years old that are still shitty at relationships and stuff, and been married and stuff. And they, you know, don't even have they don't even have a blueprint to follow. And the stress of that, the expectation of expecting somebody being good at something that they've never had any practice in. Do you know what I mean? Like, how long have you been married now?
16, over 16 years.
And how old are you?
41.
41. And how many, I don't know if you can answer this, but how many relationships were you in prior to you being married?
Not a lot, maybe 3-4.
So, like, if you say, if you wanted to play
when I was 22.
Okay.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So even if you talk about, you say you want to be an Olympic ping pong player, right? And I said, well, you know, look, you played ping pong 3 times. Why don't you go for it? The absurdness of thinking that you could be an Olympic, or even, you play tennis, which is even better. To think that you could be good at tennis by playing it 3 times, you would never even think that that's a reasonable expectation, you know? But you've been in three relationships in your life, then you're married, and you're literally in this thing trying to figure it out while you're in it. And the consequence of not figuring it out is divorce and pain, emotional pain and stuff, which is really, I mean, if we think about how inconsiderate is that, you know what I mean? Like, how unrealistic is it for you to be great at this with no practice at all, you know? So it's a just an odd thing because of the fact that how we define manhood is something that this is just what you're supposed to know. But how do you know? I mean, half of us don't even have a parent that taught us. You know, you don't have a father that taught you. Even if you have a father, a lot of times he was so busy covering it all, you know, get down. Get down. Your mother's, you know, like that they didn't even have it. They were like, "Dad, teach me about girls." And he was like, "I'm trying to figure it out myself. Get behind the couch. She's on a rampage again," you know? And so it's interesting conceptually to have those expectations and to have those expectations. And then you're 40. So now you're supposed to have it all figured out because you're 40 years old when you haven't really had that much experience in the first place. It's just, you know, it's insane. And then there's things that make us feel good. There's things that don't make us feel good. And then we ignore because we don't want to fuck it up. And we, you know, I mean, you know, it's just, it's interesting. I mean, I always look at, like, you know, you being an entrepreneurial, having that kind of entrepreneurial spirit and having to kind of figure these things out, even though you don't, you know, you're not like, so I work for the phone company for, I'm coming up on 28 years. For 28 years, I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and went and did a job and somebody told me what to do. And I was able to make good money doing it, but there was no, you know, there was very little room for creativity. Like, here's your job, go fix it. I mean, I did the aspect of it where I had to find troubles, where you had to locate troubles. So it was a little more involved.
That actually seems like when you had to repair something, did you look at that as like a challenge?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I did.
I can see like myself, if I did that, like, it seems like it would be fun to figure out like what a problem is and fix it.
Yeah. And then, was it
like that for you or like?
Yeah, it was. It was a period of time where I was very immersed into it. I was really good at it. And then there was new technology, different machines and stuff that I could learn and new things that I could learn and different. So I let me see if I could explain this really quick. Like when your phone goes out, so this is an analogy. When your phone goes out, what happens either it's wet. It's either the two wires have either gotten wet or the two wires are touching or they're touching, one or the other, or both. So there's only three things that it could be. Something cracked and the water got in it. Something hit it and it touched one side, you know, the negative side to the, and you can read it as a short circuit. And so the way you would find those troubles is you look at a meter and each one of those troubles looks a little bit different, the way the meter responds. And so with time you learn what you're looking at. This means that means same thing like comedy. If you walk on stage and the crowd is not responding, a lot of times there's a lot of reasons why it could not be responding. Because the host is not great. I didn't really set up the room. It could be that the AC is not working and people are too hot. It could be because it took too long to clear the room. Because it took too long to clear the show before and the people have been waiting and they're tired because they've been waiting. So they're cranky. And so there's a number of different reasons, but there's also a finite amount of things that you can do to change them. And one of those things is you kind of got to shock them into resetting. And if you don't shock them into resetting, then your set goes to shit. And being able to learn those things, how you can kind of drop a hand grenade, you know, a comedic hand grenade, blow up the room and then start from fresh and start building, is something that you learn with time. But how many times do you have to do that in order to understand specifically what is going to fix the thing. So it's a constant psychological problem that we're dealing with when we're on stage and everything. And so is relationships. So is fixing wires. It's all, but you have to have knowledge of what it looks like being able to read the room in order to change the situation. So even if you're in a situation where you know that, like, you know, like your wife going, look, are you, if you're not playing tennis, then give up the membership. One of the things is she's seeing this is a waste of time, but she also sees it as a waste of time even when you're doing it. Like, she doesn't see a value in it in the first place.
I disagree. She sees the value in it.
But canceling the membership also removes the ability to go do it. You got to have the membership to do it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just
so if we cancel,
if there's a better way to say it than, you know, cancel.
Yeah, but it's not, and I'm you're not saying it. I'm saying it. What I'm saying is, look, I'm trying to think of how I could put it. Fuck it. It's like something like a chick, like, you know, a woman wants to get her nails done, right? It's important to her. Do we really give a fuck if, you know, I mean, as long as you don't got man hands, you know what I'm saying? We're fine with it, but we don't care. Maybe doing that is relaxing. Maybe it's an opportunity. I mean, it could be any number. I know dudes who love shining in their car. They love getting the wax out, shine, and it's a relaxing kind of therapeutic thing. But if you don't see the value in it, it's easy to say, yeah, you don't need to do that. So I think what I'm saying is, and you don't have to, you don't even have to give me a fifth, plead the fifth on this.
Yeah, I got to plead the fifth on this one.
But the point is, being so ready to get you to remove your membership innately says that she doesn't see the value in it. Because if she saw the value in it, the thing would be to keep the membership and then encourage you to go to do it. So keep the membership and say, babe, you didn't play tennis this week. I know you love playing tennis. You should go out and play tennis. You know what? Why don't you go? You know what I mean? You see how that would communicate something different. It would communicate that, hey, number one, I understand that this is important, not just because it's important. I mean, and it could be just important to you, but it's also important because I recognize why it's important. And if she doesn't think it's important, she could also ask, why do you get this membership and then you don't go? She could ask that. And then you could have dialogue about, well, it's like I'm a lot of times I'm overwhelmed with my job. I'm overwhelmed with the stress of the job. I really want to do it, and I want the ability to do so. If I end the membership, then even when I do find time to do it, I'm not going to be able to do it because I don't have a membership. Or you got to pay $45 a clip, or what? You know what I'm saying? To do that, like I kept my membership, my gym membership. I haven't been in the gym for 6 months. I'm going back. First time I went back was today. But if I didn't have the membership, I'd have to pay $30 to work, you know, like to go to Equinox. But if I have the membership, even if I'm wasting the money, I'm not wasting as much as if I do it once in a while. And having the option also gives me the ability to go when I want. So innately, you can't not, there's no other way to look at it. And I'm not asking you to to co-sign, but the fact that she's like, drop the membership every time you don't go every single day says that she doesn't think it's important. But the same thing happens in comedy. And Harry, I know you've experienced this too, like where, you know, I got to do a show and somebody goes, yeah, well, why don't you don't want to stay with me? You don't want to.
Right. And it becomes difficult, but you have to set those boundaries. Because this is what the expectation is.
Then the expectation, if you go, this is important to me.
Yeah.
Well, if it's important to you, then when you don't go, well, you don't like it, it's. I was talking to Chris DiStefano about this once, and he. This is when he first had his baby, And he was talking about, yeah, you know, I got to get home. I can't, you know what? And he was like rushing home. And I was like, oh, how long has your wife been doing comedy? He goes, oh, she's not a comic.
Never.
I go, yeah, but was she manage comics? No. I go, so I don't understand how she could dictate to you what you need to do as being a comic. Like, they don't understand that us hanging out, us being in places
is part of the
creates
job.
Opportunities. And a lot of times we don't want to be in the, we'd rather go home and sleep.
I'd rather
but you
go
need
home.
To, you got to show up. You got to show up. You got to be part of the community because things happen in the community. But to the same token, my first wife was, you know, she was going for her master's degree. And I would never tell her, oh, you're studying too much. You're putting
that'd be
too much.
Dumb funny, bro. Bitch, you reading?
So all you do is read. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm studying for my master's. Well, yeah, but you've done enough
master
of that.
Master this dick.
But it's interesting master. That somebody who has no idea, you know, for lack of a better example, has no idea what it is to be entrepreneurial, to think that you understand all of the things, the parameters of that, and then think that from the sideline you can dictate what I need to. Now, don't get me wrong, what Harry said is absolutely right. It's you have to be in a situation where you're being honest of whether or not, like, are you really doing what you need to do? And if you're not doing what you need to do, you should feel uncomfortable when somebody checks you. But if you're really doing what you need to do, and it's like, who is to say other than, I mean, I can see if another successful entrepreneur said, hey, man, you're doing too much. You need to. But, I would never ask, and lack of a better, you know, set of examples, I would never ask an orthodontist, what do you think I should do with my comedy? I mean, I'll ask him about my teeth, but I'm not gonna ask him about. And I think the when people, especially when we are in relationships, people feel as though the relationship gives them license to do that. You know, gives them license to kind of step in and say, what is and what isn't. Dre, we got 5 minutes, but I want to get into this Dre too, because Dre was calling me and he was telling me, Dre, you mind talking about this crazy bitch or no?
Who's the crazy bitch?
The one that ghosted you.
No, this wasn't even a ghosted. This was we were talking, everything was fine, and then
right.
So I guess it might be ghosted because I thought ghosted was
It's ghosted. In the end, it's ghosted.
Shit, I have no idea what happened. It was cool. No, from what I noticed, nothing went wrong. That was a funny thing I said, went wrong. But nothing went wrong. And then, I don't know, I just went back to her page and I was black.
Can you tell what it led up to?
We went out. Everything was cool. She drank till she got sick.
Wait, you said...
You want to do this on the Patreon?
Let's do this on the Patreon. Donnie, you want to plug the club real quick, and we're going to do the rest behind the paywall, if that's okay.
Yeah, Stand Up New York, 78th and Broadway.
My favorite club, by far, Donnie, my favorite club.
Every night, so I love come on by, ask for me. Donnie Zoldan, not Donnie Waldman, not Jimmy. Donnie.
You're mixing up Gabe's last name. That's what you're doing, Dante.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
You think all Jews look alike, and that's not right. I think it's not right.
Absolutely not.
Harry.
Gabe is way more handsome than Donnie. And much more confident, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Much more.
Gabe has too much confidence.
It's just too much. It's crazy. Gabe has so much confidence, it goes back around to being not confident. Dre, talk to me.
Yo, just Andre D. Thompson on everything. Slouch Theory. That's it.
All right. Harry, talk to me.
All my stuff is at Harry Turjanian.
Me, y'all can Google me. You know how to get me. or look at my my virtual background. And don't forget the one-on-one consultations if you need that. You know how to get me. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all, man. We're going to go back to the Patreon. Don't forget to sign up for the Patreon, and then you can hear the rest of this on the Patreon. Peace. We're out of here.